Revelation chapter 4. We'll read down through the 8th verse today, but begin once again at verse 1. Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard, which was, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat upon the throne. And he that sat was to look unto like a jasper and sardis stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne, in the sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunders and voices, and there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. In the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had the face of a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the 4 beasts had each of them 6 wings about him. And they were full of eyes within, and they rested not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I just thank you for the opportunity to come and to read your word. Each time that we can hear your word, whether we are reading it ourselves or someone else is reading it, every time that we have that opportunity to hear your word, I just ask, Lord, that it stirs our hearts and changes our lives. We need to realize, dear Father, that today we're living in the very end, the very last of the times of the church age. And the time is going to come very soon, very quickly, that all believers will leave this earth, will be caught up in the air to forever be with the Lord. We have much work to do. There is millions and millions of people upon this earth that have not trusted in you as their Savior. Wheat is fields are white into harvest. It's time, dear Lord. There's no time to waste in the things of this world when there's so much work to be done in praising, honoring, serving you. So, Father, I just ask that the young and old alike come today to hear your word. They look at the throne of God. And when they see that throne and see where John stands, knowing that it'll be one day, a day soon, that we'll be standing there, please, dear Lord, excite our hearts. And Father, for those that are here that have never trusted in you, this would just seem to be foolishness. But that foolishness can be changed immediately into the greatest day of your life if, Father, they'll come today, call upon you. Please, dear Lord, guide and lead us now. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. In just a very quick review, we start here, and it says, after this, and we have spent the time to recognize and to see that it means after this is when the church had been raptured, and we looked at many verses of Scripture concerning that. And so we see that the church has been caught up, and now is in the presence of the Lord. And John himself, too, is there. This is early. You know, John gets a, if it would happen today, John got a look of almost 2,000 years ahead of time of what's to come. And he is telling us, you know, we could have been left completely in the dark concerning what this next life is going to be like. But instead of that, God chose to share with us through the Spirit of God, through this man named John, to write for us just a few things just to excite our hearts and make us ready to see him face to face and not so focused upon the things of this life. We need to be busy at work, and we need to, yes, enjoy the things of this life, but please, please, that we look to the day that's to come, and that day is going to be a day we're going to see him face to face. Now, put yourself right there where John, as he looks, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and a voice I heard, and that voice was as a trump. And as the trump sounds, the church will be called from here. And so what a glorious day it's going to be. But John, he leaves his body, and immediately, because the call was, come up hither. And by not any of his own power, but by the power of God, he, his spirit left his body, and he went right into the presence, and he's standing at the very throne of God. And he finds himself surrounded by the church. He finds himself surrounded by the church. But more important, much more important than being surrounded by the church is what he sees. And what he sees, first of all, is this mighty throne, this magnificent throne. And for him to describe how it would, how it looked, he couldn't. He used jasper and sardis stones as some examples to show him, to record for us and for in his mind to give some description of what he was seeing. But this mode, this speed, it wasn't in a short period of time. It was immediate. And when we face death, if we have to face death, understand that there is no purgatory. There's no intermediate place where we're going to have to go rest a while and prepare ourselves to be entered into the throne of God, before the throne of God, because that's not so. The twinkling of an eye, that a split second that you take that last breath and you physically die, you will be immediately in the presence of the Lord, immediately. What a wonderful promise. We're not going to find, we make so much over the physical body that's left here when we have a funeral or a service something or other. And my friend, when you die, your spirit goes to one place or another. There's only two places. One's heaven and one's hell. And that's it, and that decision is made right then and right there. It's not a decision that'll be made later by measuring your works. It is made, the decision is made, and the decision is to be right for those that go to heaven, not because those that are saved are good, are perfect, because in the flesh they're not. But in the sight of God they are, because we are covered by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. And so we need to be excited, we need to be looking for that day, and we need to look at this day that John sees that door open, just like it'll be for you and me if we do have to face death. If not, Jesus is coming to get us. He's going to come halfway down. He's going to meet us in the air, and we're going to forever be with the Lord. What a glorious day. What a wonderful day that'll be if we don't have to face death. But if we do, God still cares for us and protects us, sends his angels to come and take us home. John's immediately there. He sees the throne. He sees the one that's sitting upon the throne. It is a sardis, and as jasper and a sardis, we talked about that talks and speaks of the breastplate that the high priest wears, how it is the first and the last. In this case, it's the last and the first. It is turned because John now is looking back, whereas the high priest of the day of the tabernacle and the in the temple, the priest, the high priest, was looking forward, as all look forward until the cross. And when the cross took place, then we begin to look back. And he could look back not only then at the second coming, at his return to get his church, but also he looks back to the cross as well. We always look to the cross of Calvary. So what a beautiful picture that we have looked at here. The only description, the only way that he could really tell, to describe who was sitting on the throne was this jasper and sardis, this blood red stone and this clear stone. And so as we look at those things, we see his righteousness and we see again his redemption through the blood of the cross of Calvary. We had one more that we just were barely able to speak of just for a short time, and that is a further sight. And not only it was this rainbow that was found round about the throne in sight, like unto an emerald, which is green. And so we have now looked at three of the different stones that's on the breastplate. When we look at the jasper and the sardis, and now we find the emerald. And this emerald stone is, we think of a rainbow being many colors. This isn't. This is the most beautiful green color that you have ever seen, ever seen. For John to try to describe this, it would be just almost impossible because of its great beauty. We see things here upon this earth, and we say, oh, isn't that just the most beautiful sight, scene that you have ever seen. And you look at the colors, and maybe it's a flower, maybe it's a sunset, maybe it's a sunrise, maybe it's just looking across the fields as they're about to be harvested. You look across the fields and in this area, the beans and the corn, and it's just beautiful. As Tony and Pam got to go west, they talked about all the miles of grazing land, and there's just so many things that are so beautiful in this world. And stand before the Grand Canyon, I've never got the opportunity to do that, but they say it's such a sight to see. And the beauties of Alaska, of Hawaii, of just so much the Lord has given us to enjoy here. But it is nothing, nothing compared to what heaven's going to be. Nothing. Our old cursed eyes, they can't see anything that's perfect. And so what we look at is something that is less than perfect by so far in God's standards. And so now let's try to take some of the precious stones and some of the things that John, the Spirit gave him direction to write this, to describe what it is. And here is this rainbow, this emerald green, and this unbroken circle that circles around the throne. Oh, speaks of his unbroken love and his unbroken mercy, because God's mercy never ends. It just continues day after day. And if you're familiar with the emerald, you'll realize that we have just completed this in a perfect fashion, the first and the last. And here with the emerald is nothing, none other than the stone of Judah, which we know that the Lord Jesus has come through the line of Judah. And so what a beautiful picture that we have in just this throne in the small description that John can give. And so we have the throne, the one that's seated upon the throne. And then we look at the fourth verse and we see, and round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, and they were clothed in white raiment, and they had crowns of gold upon their head. This is the next step. And so let's please just slowly, let's walk into heaven. And let's see the very one that's seated upon the throne. And the one that is seated upon the throne is our Lord Jesus Christ. We know that we have left the church age. And the next thing to come is going to be judgment. And yet even our Lord, as he begins to bring judgment down upon this earth, we need to realize and recognize that our Lord, our God, is in control. when we look at all the things that are going on in the world today, things that have went on in the past, things that are going on in your life that seem to bring these turmoils, we need to understand that He is seated upon the throne. Right now, He's at the right hand of God the Father. His purpose is to make intercession for us. He already saved us, and then he makes intercession for us as we go before the Father. He sends the Holy Spirit down to live within every believer so that we can know Him. We can search His Word and study His Word. Without the light, without having light, we can see we're in total darkness. It is just foolishness to us if you do not know the Lord Jesus. So the Lord Jesus didn't just come and die on the cross and says, okay, I hope you can figure out how to be saved. He come and He died upon the cross, and upon dying upon that cross and then being buried and being raised from the dead 3 days later, and then 40 days past that, then He ascends into the heavens and again seated upon the right hand of the Father. But as we look at then the work that started at Pentecost, because then, before the Spirit of God would come up on people, same principle would come in and show us who we are and what we're made of. And so in seeing then who we are, it became something very ugly to look at. We're dead. We're not dying. We're dead in our trespasses and sins. And that's what the Holy Spirit shows us. It shows us by bringing a little glimmer of light in. Everything, when it comes to salvation, is from the outside. It's not from the inside. It comes from the outside, and here comes the light. And when that light comes, and it begins to show us who we are, and that light is turned on, and oh, there's ugly. And we see that. And so when we see that, then we've got a choice to make. Do you shut the light? Do you get away from the light? Or do you look just a little bit further and see one that can take care of all that filth, all that dirt? And I hope that you did. I know that I have. I've trusted in Jesus as my Savior. And in doing that, then, this person of the Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, come and lives within my heart and lives within your heart. And the light just continues to get brighter and brighter and brighter. That's the only way we can see and understand. So if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, this here is foolishness. It's ignorance. There's nothing to it. But if you know Jesus, and if you'll permit the Spirit of God to show you this throne here. He is moving. He's moved to a place where John is viewing here. Where we find John present, Jesus has moved to a throne that's going to bring and mean judgment. But around that throne, we have 24 thrones. It says seats, but it actually means thrones. So around the single throne of God, the mighty throne of God, around that circles 24 more thrones. And upon those 24 thrones sits 24 elders. And so picture that. Picture the jasper and the sardis as you look at the throne, and the only description that the eyes can give as far as our God is concerned. It's so mighty, it's so perfect that nothing in this world can describe it. And so He takes something that is most precious to try to describe who sits upon the throne. And then circling that is this emerald, this beautiful green color as it circles around the throne. And then up on that area there, then we find these 24 thrones. And sitting upon these 24 thrones are 24 elders. And as we look through the Word of God, we will find that these 24 elders, or 24 thrones, and the elders that sit upon that, represent the church, the redeemed, the glorified saints. They have been caught up, because you see, when we looked at this, after this I looked and behold. After this, after what? After the church age was finished. After the church was raptured. And so when John looks and he sees the throne, and he sees the beautiful, most beautiful, most magnificent that he's ever seen, and around there sits these 24 elders upon their 24 thrones, and he recognizes who that is. He recognizes that that's the age that he lived in, because that represents the church age. So you and I, we'll be a part of that. That's where we're placed. Right there. Right there. This number 24 is used many times. Some people try to bring Israel in to this picture here. And if you go back to 1 Chronicles, do that sometime this afternoon if you'd like. 1 Chronicles chapter 24 and chapter 25. It gives us a description of how God set up the temple and the service of the temple. So it speaks of the high priest then assigns everyone a place of service, a time of honor. Our God is a God of organization. Our God is a God that has a plan and is carrying that plan out. Our God is a God that has set for man, for you and me, a place of service, a time of service. And we know, according to 1 Peter chapter 2, that we are we're the royal priesthood. Saints, born again believers, are of the royal priesthood. And so if we can go back into 1 Chronicles, look at this organization that's been set into place. Yes, that was Israel. But we come to this day here, and as we look, we find this to be the body of Christ, because we now are his royal priests. Peter's referring to it back in 1 Peter chapter 2 of the church age, whether it be the Gentiles or the Jews. The folks that Peter's talking about in 1 Peter chapter 2, they are the whosoever will. That's the church. You know, we could take and call the church, all the body of believers, or we could call the whosoever will, because that's who we are. We are the whosoever will. This body of Christ, if we, and today I'm not going to take time, but please write down 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 and 13, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 30. We find here that it is a division from the Jews. It is the church, the body. And that body we find to be clothed in white raiment and have crowns of gold about their heads. And this white raiment speaks of the righteousness and the holiness that God has given us. And if we would turn here to Revelation chapter 19, verse 8, just go to the end. That's not so far for us to turn quickly here. Revelation chapter 19, verse 8. And it says, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. What a beautiful verse of Scripture. Clothed in the white raiment, crowns of gold that are worn by these elders. It speaks of the precious royalty. We are of the King. We are a part of the kingdom, and he honors us in such a way that we have a white robe and a golden crown. Oh, for us to have such a place and such a position. Because if you'll notice, there is nothing between those two places. There's nothing between the throne of God and the elders. Us. What a glorious day that's going to be. There's going to be a judgment coming. As we look at this time period, we know that there's going to be a calling out of the nation of Israel yet. That calling out of the nation of Israel, because during that tribulation period, there's going to be 144,000 that's going to be preachers, Pauls and Peters, that's going to preach the gospel in the strongest way that can ever be preached. And those 144,000, not one is going to go astray with the Word of God. Every one of them is going to stand and proclaim the Word of God, and there's going to be a mighty number of Jews, Israelites, saved during that time. But we will be in His presence around the throne. What a glorious day. What a glorious day. These 24 elders are those that are caught up, according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. These 24 elders seen here will be a part of the judgment that comes from this fourth chapter to the 19th chapter of Revelation. Now we look very quickly at verse 5. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. There were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Lightnings and thunders of voices. That always tells us that God is speaking judgment. Judgment is coming. Jesus is here for judgment. Jesus is about to judge the world. And that's where we find Him. In the last half of that, we have the seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which John saw. Remember the lampstands that were in the churches. He is the lampstand. He was present in some of the churches, but not all of them. We remember that each church had at least a remnant of believers, except for the final one, the church of Laodicea. The church of Laodicea had no one. Everyone in the church of Laodicea is going to be spewed out and spewed into the tribulation period. And so we find that these lamps, His presence has left earth and has come to the throne of God. And the number seven, of course, is the number of perfection. And so when it speaks of the seven spirits, it tells us about the perfectness of God. We have studied very recently back in Isaiah chapter 11, just a few weeks ago, concerning the seven spirits and how it tells us the character of God, of the Lord Jesus. John not only sees now the very one that is in the center of this throne, but he also witnesses, he also sees the presence of the church. Do you realize that from the day that you get saved, the day that you trust in Jesus, Jesus never, ever leaves you? He doesn't take us home to heaven and then says, oh, I've got some other work to do. We are in His presence for eternity. For eternity. And so the church is raptured. We've looked at the throne of God. We've looked at the seats that are seated around it. We haven't taken a lot of time. We want to see as it progresses here, and Scripture confirms Scripture. So I wanted you to see the throne of God most important. I want you to see where we are placed around the throne of God. I want you to see that He never leaves us or forsakes us ever. And if there's nothing more that you have learned today, and you look at these verses here, and he says, well, that's not what I was taught concerning that. Well, most of the time when the book of Revelation is studied, is taught, it is very easy to get off into different thoughts and different speculations of what this looks like and what it means and all these things. We need to look to the Word of God. We need to just slowly enjoy it. We need to see, most important, this throne. And we need to know that we are never, ever going to be separated from our God. Ever. What a wonderful promise. What a wonderful promise. And whatever you see here, whatever you may have been taught in the past, we know John is present after the rapture. We know he sees the throne of God, God sitting upon that throne, his place of authority. No other throne is eternal. His is eternal. And there we are. There we are. I hope that excites you. I hope as we slowly go through this and you get a glimpse of what's to come, that you're excited. That maybe some of the daily problems that just wear us out and take us down, that we can get beyond that and call upon our God that is all-knowing and all-powerful, that can strengthen us and build us up and take us for each day and through each day. And he even shows us what's to come. What's to come. Every time you get your eyes on this world and this world disappoints you, our God's not going to disappoint us. The world will always disappoint you. The world will always fail you. Your God will never disappoint you, and your God will never fail you. Who should we be serving? Who should we be looking to? Who should we be calling on, fellowshipping with, learning about, serving? I believe it should be our God. Let's close with prayer. Father, these burning lamps, your presence, what a wonderful picture. We're not to be so heavenly minded that we're no earthly good. If we're heavenly minded, we're going to be of value here for you. So please, dear Lord, salvation comes first. That light comes, shows us our ugliness and our wickedness and who we are. And then you've made it so simple. All we need to do is believe. Believe that you've died on the cross and you've taken those sins away. Thank you, Father, for making it so simple. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your strength. Thank you for your precious word. Now touch every one of our hearts, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.